Hi, Janet.
Hi, Tara.
I think we had to skip our conversation last week for some reason. It's been a while since we checked in. I'm just wondering if you'd like to give us an update on how you're doing with your body and what the latest teachings are.
Well, yeah, let's just say our focus changed because I thought your conference that you were going to was so exciting and really wanted to talk about that. But it is interesting because this is a moving target, this body I'm living in.
Mm-hmm.
It's teaching me so much, and there's a lot of good news. My hearing has come back, and every time I think about it, I will hold my nose and blow and, clear out my eardrums because
mm-hmm.
that, from the radiation and all.
Right.
My sight is coming back little by little. I actually went out and had the car and drove it for the first time for a very short time over the weekend.
And when was the last time you drove a car before this last, couple of days?
November.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
December, January, February, March, April, May. 6 months?
Yeah.
So that's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah, it is huge.
I have, it may have been longer. No, it's been longer than that. Because my vision got strange last July.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Right, long before you were officially diagnosed with what was actually going on.
Yeah, with the melanoma brain tumor. That wasn't named as a malignant until October or November.
Well, we're coming up on a year here.
Yeah, we are.
That must have felt so liberating.
Well, it did, but I also realized I still feel so weak.
Yeah.
And, of course, I guess I have a very sensitive system.
Well, we know that.
Yeah. And just getting my energies back, and I realize how little exercise I've had, which is not good. But, let me give you an update, but that's a history.
Sure.
So, a few weeks back, I started seeing, maybe a month or more, I started seeing single. That was really thrilling, because
mm-hmm.
last July, things were double.
Double vision, in other words.
Right. In other words,
mm-hmm.
I saw two of things, so my Lord, it was just impossible.
Right.
And then, finally, it started to, I got back to seeing just one image, which was very exciting, but when I did that, it was very, my left eye was still blurry. I couldn't bring anything into focus. So I've been dealing with that, and some of this has to do with my dehydration, because dehydration just, oh my gosh, that's so devastating, and people can be on the, I realize how long I've probably been sort of semi-dehydrated, but not really maliciously sickly dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
But, dry eyes, itchiness, some of those things are all about inadequate water in the body.
Right.
So now my eye is actually much, much better. And when I went to the my eye doctor, I always forget optometrist or ophthalmologist, they said, okay, I think you've been able to see a little better out of that left eye, which was helpful, encouraging, and now we might think about the right eye, which is going to be probably need cataract operation, because that's mm-hmm. been something we've been looking at for over a year. So I go to see him very soon, but all these things are good news. The doctors and it has been so essential for me to think positively about this body,
right?
To really honor it and say, okay, this is you're a walking miracle of self correction. If I treat you right, you'll treat me right.
a collaborative relationship. Instead of viewing your body as your enemy.
That's right. Like Dick used to stand in front of the mirror and said, now I'm going to go out downstairs and punish myself on his treadmill. thought, no, that's the wrong approach.
Right. You've been learning that one and demonstrating that one for quite a while now. The thing about listening to the symptoms, because those symptoms are just trying to give you information.
That's right. You get my attention.
Yeah.
So that there, so the eyes are better, the hearing's better. I'm finally getting some energy back. I'm not getting enough exercise. And I talked about the last time about the Bottega breathing and the drinking water that had good high pH balance. And so this, one of the things that has made all the difference in the world, because for a long time my body simply was not assimilating the nutrients that I was eating, has been the fact that I've been getting these weekly IVs, which are the saline solution, but they also have minerals and vitamins and, you know, good things like that.
Right.
And that has helped a lot restore this. I even had a vitamin B12 shot, which was, I think, very helpful.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has been good. Well, last week, sort of spur of the moment, I have two friends with cancer who are part of one of these pilot study kind of things.
Right.
And, in fact, when the oncologist that I've been working with has said, would you like to be part of one of these testing or pilot kind of experiments where they're doing to get new drugs on the market, you've got to prove that they're effective and that they're constructive and that they're going to be helpful.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say I laugh as I watch TV for all these drugs and said, now, if you have ABCD, problems, taking this drug could cause this and that, but they've overlooked all the negative side effects. So I, all of a sudden, within in one day, I heard about, my friends were here. I hadn't thought of myself as a possible candidate because I didn't think I had the strength to make the trip. It was over, going to New York and, going in and getting the drugs and being part of that pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of got in me that melanoma is no joke. And it does metastasize. You don't know why. You don't know whatever. And so I let the fear factor think, maybe I should, now that I'm feeling a little bit better, maybe I ought to submit myself and see if I can't go and be part of this pilot project, because evidently they are having good effects with some of the people.
And you had been hearing some good reports from your friends?
From my doctor, and he knew people, and so there was...
But also from the two people who were friends of yours who were there?
Well, just one of them.
Uh-huh.
Just one of them. I hadn't heard from the other who was there, had just gone there and wasn't there long enough, I think, to be able to be very objective about it.
And this is on the East Coast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh, I have to sneeze.
Oh, excuse me. And we should say, you're in Whitefish, Montana, and this would be a big deal to relocate to the East Coast for the treatment. That was one of the considerations, right?
Yes, and it would be a 6-week kind of minimum.
Right.
Test.
Mm-hmm. And what were the other requirements for entering that?
Well, this is what I started to, I got the papers filled out,
mm-hmm.
and I started to give, I started to think, I'm still not sure I'm strong enough to do this. So I talked to my friend,
mm-hmm.
and she said, you're on your own when you're here. But it was not only the physical setting of thinking about having to cope by myself, which I've not been able to do for months,
mm-hmm.
but the sort of biochemistry side and the health side, which is first thing you have to, because this is a test of this particular new formulation, you cannot take any of the whatever you've ever taken. You've got to go off of all other drugs, all of your supplements, all of your other support system.
Wow. Which for you is a lot.
Which for me is a lot, and there are a few, like, I had adrenal burnout years ago, and that's no joke. And I have had thyroid problems, you know, almost all my life.
Yeah.
And so I take a thyroid support.
Right.
And I'm at an age where I'm not taking, well, the kind of hormone I'm taking is not the typical hormone, but I'm on one that's very mild and very supportive of the system. And I thought, you know, and when I was really at my low part, I weighed down to 104 pounds. Now, granted, I'm shrinking in my adult years, but four was not where I should be. And I got back all the way to about 115, which is still a little bit on the light side. But I thought, I don't think I dare risk that. I don't think I dare go there and risk losing the pounds I just put on and having this hit on my body that could compromise my the little bit of strength and reduce what I've achieved.
Plus, as I've learned from watching you and just my own body, it's like the body is such a delicate ecosystem.
Yeah.
And you, it seems, with all of everything you've been doing to help with this, to treat this condition, have finally achieved some sort of a balance point, it seems, where your overall system is starting to feel, you know, it's starting to work better and in a more, it's kind of a real holistic way.
Right.
You know? Uh-huh. And so to strip all that away, that seems like incredibly harsh.
And I think that the reason I would be going would be not because of the fear of metastasizing.
Yeah.
Of it spreading. But then it's sort of you weigh it between, we all carry cancer cells or the potential for cancer in our bodies. When they become manifested, is dependent upon our overall strength and mental state of mind and stress levels and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so this would be sort of, I thought, well, you know, why don't you wait and see? Because then I had my MRI last Monday and didn't get the results from my neurologist until Friday evening when he said, the indication is that it's just stayed the same size, and that's good news. And we'll check it again in a little while. And so I thought, you know, before when this had happened, it's grown back. And I guess it was a fear that it could happen again. But I think I really need to take more responsibility and ownership for my state of mind, what I eat, what I, you know, what support system I have, and you know, and this is back to that fact that women, we're the healers, and we get a lot of energy from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about the relationship that you and Isha and I have.
Yeah.
Has been so supportive of me and of her and of you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
That we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving into a very different sort of sense of possibility and excitement about what we're doing and where we're going and so the other thing that that came into my consciousness was my awareness that the way these tests are done are so counterproductive. Sort of like you've got to prove that this particular product has a wondrous effect, that a positive effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as though there's a silver bullet for that thing. What it completely discounts,
right,
is the interrelationship of everything in the body.
That's such a good point. Plus all the other things you're doing to help your body be strong. To think about having to strip those away just so some drug company can prove that their product is a magic bullet.
Yeah.
It feels totally out of sync, out of balance with the holistic approach.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the thing that I find so intriguing, where I started my whole sort of health journey was when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is an autoimmune disorder. And the recognition and growth of autoimmune disorders has just taken off in the last, 20 years. And they've recognized that the medical system is gradually catching up with that. But the way it's catching up with it seems to me, and I don't pretend to be particularly knowledgeable about this, but it does seem to me that it just isn't designed to treat the whole me. And so that, that I have to go to, and I do understand it, and I do appreciate that we have these professionals, and it's up to me to relate what is going on with one to what is going on with the other. So I've got, my supplements that I take into each one of them and give them all my records so that they have it. But, it's really hard for a medical system, I think, to function effectively with patients with the design it has. But I also think we as potential patients or as patients have not stepped into our responsibility for maintenance and improvement.
Well, I think the fact that you were able to, cure yourself of fibromyalgia through a multi-systems approach, basically, it shows that the method you're using it can work. A lot of doctors still say there's no cure for fibromyalgia. It's just something you have to live with, right? Because they haven't found their magic bullet for it.
Yeah.
But you found that there were several things that you did over a period of time that worked.
Yeah.
In a more holistic way, and I believe that the approach you're taking with the brain tumor, is exactly the same approach, and it worked before, it can work again.
Well, and there will be those who would say, no, you think you've gotten over fibromyalgia, you never get over it. So, mumps or chicken pox as a child, chicken pox. And who knows, you could always get shingles, there are all these things that are now they're talking about. Was it whooping cough is making a comeback, and it's sort of like these bugs never go away.
Well, then I think you get into real hair splitting about what constitutes a cure. I mean, all this time I've known you, I haven't seen you have any symptoms of fibromyalgia. So if you have it lying dormant in your body, and maybe you could have a flare up at some point. I haven't seen you have any flare ups. I don't think you have since. For a long, long time, have you?
Well, I don't think I have. And then I was in my dermatologist yesterday because they said it's probably a good idea to have your full body looked at, twice a year just to check. And I did have something coming back, these little precancerous things on the face that they do the freezing for.
Yeah.
She was talking about it. She said, we do cure melanoma, but people go away with melanoma. It doesn't always have to go to some other parts.
Right.
But why did mine? Because I really had that most procedure on my left cheek, and it is the most effective. They cut out the area around where the melanoma is. And then they test the tissues around the outside of that to make sure they've gotten it all. And then the next day they come back and they sew you up.
Uh-huh.
Well, that evidently didn't work on me. And it was sort of like, I hadn't thought about it before. I talked with her. Why didn't it work on me? And I realized that I had that operation done in 2004. And I said, maybe it had to do with the fact that in those 4 years, from 2004 to 2002 to 2005, 4 years, I had two moves, a divorce, and four surgeries.
Wow, that's what was all going on at that time.
And she said, that's a high stress level. That is a high stress level, and that could very well have, tested your body so that your natural defenses were compromised.
So even though it appeared that they had completely gotten it,
right,
somehow, with all the stress going on at that time, something survived enough to then move into your brain from your cheek.
Or like what if it's there like a shingles? What does it take for it to all of a sudden emerge? Because I've had shingles. You know, why does it come sometimes and why not? Why does it come and go? Why not? The same thing with cold sores, which is what herpes 2 or 1 or 2. They come and they go. So it's just a real, real strong lesson for me of the importance of my self-care and personal responsibility for keeping my body strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my update.
So I had a question. You've had several MRIs since the diagnosis back in November to keep monitoring the situation, right?
Right.
And are the MRIs themselves, is there any radiation involved in those?
Of a sort. And, you know, I wish I would be able to be articulate and knowledgeable about that. Frankly, I think I'm not because I don't want to know.
It's a necessary diagnostic tool.
It's a necessary diagnostic, and I don't – and if I I need to not get upset by it.
Right.
You know, I need to have a sort of like I've had these before, I've recovered before. I first had my first one in 2010 when we thought it was a schwannoma.
Right.
Even recovering from that was difficult. Or let's say I felt it. But part of that, I think, was the fact that I was probably in a weakened condition after having all kinds of things, you know, including pneumonia and a stroke. And so I think I'm stronger now because after this last Gamma Knife treatment, I almost felt better. It was sort of like I wasn't knocked out the way I was because I think my basic system was stronger. And it was really funny. So many people get claustrophobic going into those MRI things, which is understandable. It's no fun. But I commented to Wendy, my daughter, who was driving me around, and had a busy day, and it was in the late afternoon. I said, you know, Wendy, I'm almost looking forward to doing this because I haven't had my nap. And sure enough, I got in there, and I fell asleep.
You know, we're always kidding you anyway because you're one of those power nappers that is so impressive. It's like I remember hearing about John F. Kennedy that he could do a power nap for 20 minutes and that was it. That's all he needed every few hours or so. He didn't sleep very much at night at all. Yeah. And you do that at meetings. You'll just nod out. You'll be out for like 10 or 20 minutes, like totally sitting right up. And then you wake up and you're like, okay, what did I miss? And then you've got plenty of energy for the rest of the day, and I've always been really envious of that.
Well, you know, there's a good part of that, and there's a bad part. The bad part is when I was having my body work, and I love my body work fellow, he said, did you know that when you're sleeping, your jaw is moving? I said, you've got to be. Oh, really? Of course I don't know that. Mm-hmm. And that's why when doing the Bottega, we taped the mouth shut. Because that can lead to snoring and all kinds of things. But I thought, when I checked in with the fellow who was doing the camera work or whatever you call it from the MRI, he said, "Well, there was some movement there. I hope we didn't get the MRI was not as clear as we would have liked because there was some movement. But at least I knew what." I thought it was because I was swallowing. Well, no, it was because I fell asleep. My jaw was flapping.
Well, maybe the next time you go in for the MRI, you need to take your mouth shut.
I think, yes, definitely. That helps. But I did take my mouth shut when I was on the table with my body worker, and it didn't seem quite to work. So I retaped the way I do that. But I'll tell you, breathing, now Sarah sent me a link that I've got to look into. It talked about cancer being associated with people whose breathing habits are not really giving the body, the blood, the balance of oxygen and CO2 that is needed. So,
well, I think the overall picture right now is that you're improving. Your weight has increased, your vision has improved, your hearing has improved. The in terms of the frequency of the MRIs, they're saying you don't have to come back for a couple months now, right?
Right.
Whereas it was like that last time, you had to do it after a 3-week. There was a 3-week interlude between tests. Wasn't that right at one point? You went in early April and then April 23rd for another one? And
well, that was pre-surgery.
Uh-huh.
In other words, they did a PET scan to see what had changed in the 3-week period, because it was sort of looking the first time I went through the sequence, there was several months, and we delayed getting going on it, and you know, it had spread a lot in that little bit of time. So now they're paying more attention to getting
in. So two months at a time now. Every 2 months is the idea for the time being.
Yeah.
But you sound good. And I understand you're sleeping. Your sleep is better.
Well, something. The sleep is definitely better as a result of the vertigo. But if I get myself too busy, I get myself too tired. Well, of course, I did have the windows open last night, and a skunk visited us.
Oh dear. That will wake you up.
But
I wonder if maybe we should look up the skunk animal totem. See what.
Yeah, I'm going to.
But I think that. Overall, it's a dramatic improvement.
Yeah.
And it's another example of how if you just hang in there and keep listening, which is so important, listen to your body, listen to what it's communicating, receive the information, then act accordingly, you know.
Right.
And act responsibly.
Right.
Try not to freak out. Just keep listening.
Yeah.
And have that collaborative relationship with your body. It seems that that's the most important lesson in all of this.
Well, and you know what we were, absolutely, Tara, absolutely, and what we were also talking about is having that feeling just before we started this was the feeling of having a purpose, you know?
Right.
You were talking about your mother and how she's so interested in genealogy. And, you know, that gives her something to worthwhile to enjoy doing that makes life worth living.
To get up every morning and feel like there's something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
What was that study you emailed me last week or so about, the study of health in men was correlated with being married.
Right.
And good health in females is correlated with having good female friends.
Right.
It's so interesting, and I think every woman I know who's heard the results of that study just starts laughing, because we all know that this is really it. You know, this is how we keep ourselves healthy and happy and vibrant is our female support group.
the feminine parts of us, and of course I think. What we've not allowed into our thinking, and I think would be interesting to hear feedback, is the men have a feminine part. We all have, my masculine side and my feminine side, and my masculine side has been much more busy than the feminine side, which I'm having to honor now by this. And the men have their masculine and feminine sides, and I think men have not had the allowance to have a balanced masculine and feminine, more so than women. I think we are naturally, we are the healers. There's no question about that. But,
well, it just ties in with some of the information that I got at the astrological conference I was just at, which I would love to summarize in a different podcast.
Yeah,
you know what I shared with you before, where I interviewed the man who was a psychiatrist who's now an astrologer, who was studying the right and left hemispheres of the brain and how they function in the corpus callosum, you know, between, and came up with some conclusions that led him to study the asteroid goddesses and the role of those asteroid goddesses in helping us facilitate our deeper knowing. So maybe we can do another podcast where we can pick up there. And
I think it'll be absolutely. That'll be really important because I think it's so important for us to really, really look carefully at how we've assumed things work versus how they really do work.
Right. Yeah. Well, but for now, I think we're at about the 30-minute mark, so let's wrap this one up.
All right. Well,
do another one, and next time you can interview me about the conference, and that'll be fun to share.
Yeah. Well, I'll look forward to that because the little bit I've gotten was totally fascinating. So
yeah.
I hope other people enjoy listening to us as much as we enjoy.
So you're having a good time, at least. So.
Well, you know, if we don't, we shouldn't be doing it.
Exactly. That was something else that was talked about a lot at the conference. Okay, let's wrap this one up and talk again soon.
Okay. All right. Have a lovely one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.